So we go to number five, COVID-19 update. Kevin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler, Kevin Roblin here, Deputy Secretary of Game, Fish and Parks. Just wanted to give you an update as to some of the actions we've been taking regarding COVID-19. I first want to give a shout out to the commissioners on our COVID-19 subcommittee, Commissioner Whitmire, Commissioner Sharp, and Commissioner Beef, for participating in these conversations. These are a lot of times weekly, or in some cases even twice a week, we've been meeting and discussing some of the things, the changes that have been occurring across the department in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. So just wanted to give you a rundown as to some of the things that have been front and center here over the last week or so. As you can probably imagine, the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks is in the middle of getting into its back to normal plan. This is a phased plan that requires us to look at positions and employees impacted by working at home first. So we're trying to make sure folks that, you know, need to be in those offices to be productive, getting those folks in the offices the best to our abilities in a safe manner. And that's number one priority, is to make sure staff are safe along with the public. So one of the couple other things that go along with that is the physical changes to the work environment. You know, there's a lot of things that are being put into place as we speak: sneeze guards, furniture spacing, guidance for customer traffic flow, just overall workspace changes, and then looking at personal protective equipment, sanitizer is a big one, face masks in some situations, gloves, those sorts of things. So we're in the process of getting a lot of those personal protective gear and equipment put in place before we open our offices to the public. The next phase of the plan really does come down to that opening of the offices. And we don't have a set date for opening of the Division of Wildlife offices at this time. We do have some dates put together for the Division of Parks. And as of right now, we're hoping to get the Division of Parks offices up and running by the 18th of May. That's going to be our target date, and hopefully there'll be even some before that time. So more discussions to come on that, but we have to put a lot of these precautionary measures in place before we're ready to do that. There are employees that will continue working from home, as far as staff from across the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks that are able to work from home, and we'll continue working with those folks, and that'll be that last phase of the plan. So a couple key things that we've been discussing amongst the division of, I'll go into the Division of Parks first, and I'll turn it over to Scott, maybe fill in any pieces that I missed. But May 17th is the last day. The 2019 park entrance licenses are valid. And as you know, we have been waiving the park entrance license fee as of right now. But on that May 18th date, the department will start charging and requiring park entrance licenses. It just seems like an ideal time to do that transition, because of those 2019 passes will be expiring at that time, and we'll be able to start kind of fresh, if you will, with the 2020 pass. So again, that date will be May 18th, and that'll be when we get our park entrance offices open as well. We're shooting for that, and we'll have to get those precautionary measures put in place before that. So staff are working diligently right now to make sure those amenities and those services are ready to go once that May 18th deadline comes. A couple things, other things within the park, comfort stations, they've been closed throughout this time as well. We're looking at opening those comfort stations May 15th. That's going to be over the open house and free fishing weekend. That's on the May 15th weekend there, when we waive the park fee, park entrance fees. And then it's also a free fishing weekend, so you don't need a license to fish that weekend. And then the last thing that I wanted to discuss were the fish cleaning stations. We're in the process of putting signage up on those and making sure they're up and running by the open house weekend as well, so that May 15th. And some are already up and running as we speak. It's just a transition or a phased plan as to which ones are and which ones aren't. So a couple other challenges we've been faced with are the visitor center. And, you know, just we're utilizing those on a case-by-case basis. Opening dates will vary, but it's going to be around that Memorial Day weekend is kind of the target date for those. And we have been taking a lot of precautionary measures with park staff to ensure our staff continue to be healthy and safe along with the public. And that's been front and center, very important that we're following those CDC guidelines, following the guidelines laid out by the Department of Health. And that's been the priority here lately. On the wildlife side of things, there's been some conversation and discussions regarding, you know, getting full-time staff back in the offices and determining who those folks are. And then a big conversation, too, around seasonal staff, and this goes with the parks as well, and interns. And there's some things that are a necessity, like, you know, making sure those weeds get sprayed, making sure, you know, the wildlife depredation programs continue. And so that we have a plan in place that we'll be bringing some of those seasonals and interns back here shortly to conduct some of those things that we need to continue conducting. Couple other things, food plot, feed distribution, there's been a lot of conversation regarding that. We do have dates set, and some dates already have occurred where folks can go in and pick up their food plot seed. We do have tail turn-in dates for the Nest Predator Bounty Program starting already on this Friday. So there's some protocols out there for that, but we want to continue those amenities and those opportunities for folks to participate in the Nest Predator Bounty Program and have an opportunity then to turn their tails in. And those are some of the higher level things that have been ongoing. I'm just going to turn this over to Scott first to talk about some of the things that I might have missed, but I'm sure there'll be some questions as well. So Scott, if you want to talk a little bit about parks, that'd be great.
Yeah, good afternoon, Commissioners and Secretary Hepler. Scott Simpson, Director of the Parks Division. I think you covered it pretty well, Kevin. I don't know that I've got a whole lot to add other than, you know, obviously reiterating that our primary concern or emphasis with opening up these offices and comfort stations, fish cleaning stations, you know, getting back to full operations as best we can. You know, our focus is on the safety of our employees and the safety of the public. That will remain obviously the priority throughout the summer, which, you know, honestly it is every day that we go to work. I mean, there's lots of things that can go wrong, as you can imagine with that many moving parts, but you know, we're trying to be safe every day, and we're trying to be extra cautious as we transition into this opening of facilities. I guess maybe the only thing I would follow up with what Kevin was talking about, as far as bringing on seasonals, we are being very cautious with the amount of seasonal help that we're bringing on in the park system, and I know Tom will probably touch on that as well, but you know, we're not exactly sure how this summer is going to go. We can look out a few months and we can see what we have for reservations, and we know that you know, April was a good solid month for us, but you know, things seem to be changing daily, and we want to make sure that we aren't putting ourselves in a position where we aren't able to react. And this probably definitely gets over into the financial side of things, but you know, we're being very cautious with bringing back our seasonals. We're trying to do more with less. We are trying to get innovative with how we handle operations. We're trying to get innovative with how we can reduce contact with the public. Some of those things lead directly into not needing as many seasonals in some cases. In some cases, it's, you know, the current environment allows us to reduce some staff. You know, when you look at in-person education classes and those kinds of things, you know, obviously, you know, when we do events and education programs, you know, we're looking at groups of, you know, anywhere from 20 to 100. You know, that just isn't likely to happen this summer. So we can take that seasonal staff and either choose to not fill those positions or move them over into some other positions, and you know, my folks are getting very creative with that right now, and you know, we're just being real cautious with bringing seasonal staff on, but we do need to bring some on at this point, just to, you know, do the daily cleanings of comfort stations and lodges and camping cabins and some of the maintenance work that needs to get done. So we are seeing an influx right now of bringing seasonals, interns, and volunteers in. but we are being very cautious with it. So with that, I take any questions, but I think, Kevin, you did a great job of kind of laying out what our timeline looks like over the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Thank you, Scott. Commissioners, are there any questions pertaining to the Division of Parks in particular?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
This is Commissioner Boyd. With the park entrance licenses, I know that we're encouraging people to use the online system. I've done that for many years, and it works very, very well. But thinking in the past, where the staff person at the park entrance who handles that transaction, once you buy your sticker, they would reach in and apply it to your windshield. Is that a practice that's long since been given up, or how are we going to handle that?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Boyd, yeah, absolutely. That, you know, that practice isn't long past. I would say that last summer we were certainly sticking our head in vehicles and putting stickers on windows. That was one of the first things, obviously, to come off the list. We don't need that kind of interaction. Not only do we, you know, our employees don't need to be there, but our public is not going to want us to do those kinds of things. So we've come up with a plan to try to reduce that contact. We're going to have, you know, potentially in some of our lower volume locations, we'll be looking for, you know, more of a self-service kind of thing. But, you know, those places where we do have to have that contact, you know, it's likely going to be out a window. We'll have to take some money or a credit card, just like most retail operations do. But we'll just be passing that sticker over to them and allowing folks to adhere that sticker to their windshield. You know, that's basically a service that we provide in the past, just more out of convenience for folks than anything else. But, yeah, we won't be doing that this summer, I can promise you that.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments? Sorry, Kevin, do you have more that you wanted to say?
I just wanted to open up an opportunity for our Director of Wildlife, Tom Kirschman, to add anything he'd like to discuss or anything that he'd like to say that hasn't been covered yet regarding the discussions around COVID-19. And Tom, is there anything that you'd like to add to the conversation?
Yeah, thank you, Kevin, and good afternoon, Commissioners. Excuse me, Tom Kirschman, Wildlife Division Director. I think you hit it and summarized it very well, and the comments that Scott shared from the park side are very similar on the wildlife side as well. You know, from our full-time staff and our normal activities that we would be carrying out this time of the year, some of them simply will not happen because it does require multiple staff in close proximity of each other. But our staff are getting very creative and innovative also, and we're doing a high level of prioritization of what types of programs, services, and activities are we going to carry out over the next several months here. In respect to, similar to what Scott shared with you on seasonal staff, on a normal basis for coming into this year, we would have brought on approximately 125 to 150 total staff that would be either seasonal or interns. And they help with a variety of programs, services, and projects that would be going on. Obviously, we're not going to be bringing on that level. We've been having continued discussions. In fact, earlier this week, we really narrowed it down to what we would consider right now some of our priority services and programs that we would like to assure to continue. And that does fall, as Kevin described, from that wildlife damage side of things, in particular related to goose depredation in eastern South Dakota, continuing our habitat efforts on our game production areas across the state, and then the third one I would offer up to you from an aquatic / fishery side of things would be related to aquatic invasive species. And so we've put together a plan / approach, identified priority seasonal and intern staff that we would need to carry out those activities in conjunction with our full-time staff that we'll be asking to pitch in and help with some of these services and programs that they normally wouldn't do. It's tough, very difficult to say we're not going to do some activities over others But under these circumstances, we do have to consider, obviously, the safety of our staff as well as the safety of the public, and that has been first and foremost amongst these conversations. So very similar to what Scott described on the park side, we're focusing on those efforts right now in our first phase of getting some of our staff back into offices, helping out with some priority services and programs, and then eventually coming into bringing on a much lower level of those seasonal type staff to help with those priority services and programs. Same thing in our offices. We're trying to make things safe for our staff when they reopen the doors to the public for our office settings, as well as the safety of the public. And we're working on those items as we speak, putting things in place in conjunction and coordination with Department of Health, CDC guidelines, and things like that. So very similar to what you summarized, Kevin. I just offer those few points and would be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Thanks, Tom. Any questions, comments? Okay,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go ahead.
Commissioner Sharp, go ahead.
Okay, I guess when do our all our walk-in program contracts go out? And anything related to the walk-in program, the creps, anything else like that that we spend that $3.2 million on annually?
Mr. Chairman, this is Tom Kirschman, if I may.
Sure, please do.
Commissioner Sharp, from the standpoint of the walk-in area and crep program, there's pieces of that program that occur year-round, but the main activities from the standpoint of the walk-in area program, the renewals, some of that stuff is happening right now where our staff over the last month or two do a lot of phone calls, contacts with landowners for re-enrollment, doing follow-ups to lead the folks that are interested in walk-in areas. The CREP part of the side of this, we have not for multiple years had an active enrollment from the standpoint we quit accepting enrollments due to financial limitations to do that. So those contracts that are in place for CREP, there's actually nothing we have to do on an annual basis except for their annual payment. We do not have to go back and ask if they're interested, because to participate in the CREP program, it is a requirement to allow access. So that part right now, there's not a lot of activity. We are working on, from the standpoint of making an adjustment to our agreement with USDA at a national level to accept new enrollments for the CREP program, because we plan to use some of the funds generated from the habitat stamp, which Kevin will cover here in just a moment, to help facilitate finishing the enrollment up to 100,000 acres in the James River CREP. Does that answer your question, Commissioner Sharp?
Sort of, and just to remind, this is Educate Doug again, but the CREP program allows the public to access enrolled CRP acres?
Yes. Commissioner Sharp, the tract of lands that are rolled in the CREP program, first and foremost, are a signed agreement with USDA as a CRP contract, correct? And once they have that agreement in place and accepted, then we do our part as the State Wildlife Agency and the state to enroll them in the CREP access component of it. So they first do USDA, and then they do the Game Fish and Parks side of things. Correct.
Okay. I guess my only comment is, having been at some of those access meetings, is that under current budget constraints that we may be facing, I would say now would be a good time to possibly take a look at all the acres involved in our walk-in program and make sure, maybe take time to be pretty focused on the ones that truly meet what the public would expect to see when they go out there, and maybe save some money on the ones that continually are more marginal in their use for the public. And I would think that our conservation officers probably can come up with quite a lengthy list in each one of their areas of the ones they feel are more deserving than others. But that's just a thought. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sure. Any other questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to wrap this up. I just want to wrap up the COVID-19 discussion by thanking staff. Thanking staff for being adaptable in this time of uncertainty. They've done an excellent job. I want to say thank you to our communications team for continually getting the word out on changes that have been occurring daily. And for folks listening in, members of the public, we want to just urge you to continue checking our website for updates, checking our social media platforms. When changes do occur, we make sure they're posted immediately. So those would be the best places to reference changes that have been occurring, and there have been many. So I urge members of the public to continue their patience and continue checking those websites and those social media pages for the most recent changes that are occurring. So thanks, folks, and that is it for the COVID-19 update.
Okay, thank you.